Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praise and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and I'm joined today by John Levine.
It's our after Christmas edition.
That's right. It's the day after Christmas here in England. It's a Boxing Day, which I guess means you're taking all the boxes from all the shit you got.
Yeah, I think that's
Christmas.
I think that's exactly
boxing,
correct.
Boxing, putting stuff back and sending it back, because I don't like it. I don't like it. Anyway, happy Boxing Day. We do have people in Great Britain that listen, by the way. I see the feeds that come.
Uh-huh.
France, Great Britain. We actually have listeners and members there. So, by the way, if you are listening to us in Great Britain or France, you know, go on Twitter and say something at Wake Up Dougie.
Yeah.
Or go on Facebook on our fan page.
I mean, the people in France probably love us because they can't understand what we're saying, so it makes it good for them.
Oh, it sounds funny. I don't know what
they
say.
Right, exactly.
Ski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what we're saying, and it's not fun for me, so I'm sure that...
Yeah. Well, you know, and Ty is out. She's celebrating Hanukkah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you're not religious. You're Jewish by blood, in a sense. But
correct,
you're,
by birth, yeah.
By birth, but you're not. You don't practice. You're atheist.
Yeah. Culturally, I'm Jewish, but in practice, I'm an atheist.
Right, so when it's like a thunderstorm, I kind of step away from you. A little
Why?
Bit, because you're going to get hit with lightning one day.
By the mythical creature that you worship?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You call them mythical. I say that's my faith.
Okay. Which is myth. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, all those writings could just, you know.
Oh, right. Who could write books?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, we must have a God if we've got books.
All those different and all those different places around the world all writing the same thing coincidentally.
That doesn't prove your, that hurts your point. But anyway, go ahead.
No, it doesn't. It kind of solidifies.
It means everybody's got the same story,
yeah,
and they just copied each other, and so...
No, everybody has their interpretation of it, much like judges in a boxing match. Everybody has their own angle, you know, from each side. That's why there's three judges in a boxing ring on each side, so that in case one judge doesn't see it the same, it's a different perspective.
Yeah, but the difference in that thing is that those three judges are not sitting there being told by somebody else that the boxing match happened and here's what happened.
Yeah, but back then it didn't have Twitter and shit. You know,
which is exactly why you don't see that stuff nowadays.
But more people talked about it, you know. More people actually share their stories.
Correct.
John, you're not going to turn me into a heathen.
I'm
okay?
not listening. You're not
going to send me the fucking hell with your paganistic beliefs.
You're the one who said that you're not going to stand next to me in a rainstorm.
Well, I
worried about getting hit by lightning.
Well, that's right. And then, God forbid, if that happened one day, and you get shocked, I'd be like, "See, I told you."
Right.
And then you wouldn't have anything to say.
So, by that rationale, everyone that's ever been hit by lightning has been an atheist.
Probably.
Right. Okay.
Sometimes. Every once in a while, you got to get a regular person for other reasons. I'm sure God, if some guy
God only
got done,
aims for the atheist.
Yeah, listen, he's got an atheist, and he's got a pedophile. He may hit the pedophile. You're like, we're going to drop this one. Let's drop it there.
No, he wouldn't because, like all those priests were pedophiles, and he's not hitting them.
Listen, we're not talking about the church on earth. We're talking about the church in the sky, which is less lenient, I should say, than the Vatican.
But my point is there's a lot of religious pedophiles, so.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Listen, from anything comes something. You know, there's always going to be something from that. Like, if anything has a coercion and a continuity, eventually there's a byproduct of it, that develops from especially long years of that. It's like natural progression of science and theory. You know, whenever you have something that there's always something like dark matter. You know, people talk about the mass of the universe, but dark matter is that shit that comes from all the other, things that are wonderful in this world, I'm surprised, you know.
It's amazing how you just make this up as you go along. I mean, that made no sense whatsoever.
Because you don't have an open mind. You don't believe in faith or anything, so you're in a box in your mind, and you believe everything you read, and that's great. Believe me, that's all good and stuff. And listen, I like facts like just like any guy, but at the same time, there's a part of my brain that can open up to the, you know, to
I
faith.
I have faith in certain things.
Yeah, I bet.
The difference is that my beliefs change depending on the evidence. Yours do not.
No, I have faith in the one thing that's above all of us and as, right. as man.
And no matter what and no matter what evidence would be brought up, you would still believe that.
Yeah, because right. I don't know how, you know, if so what you're saying is there's evidence that there was no God.
Right. So like I believe in aliens, right? I believe that right. there's life outside of this planet and in the universe,
right.
okay? We've never seen those aliens. There's absolutely no
proof.
Well,
there's people that have seen aliens and get this, so you can't say that.
But there's no proof that
how can you not prove it? There's people that have seen things.
I don't believe those people that say they've been probed and all that kind of stuff. But the point being is there's not empirical proof that
that's my point. To you, there, like in other words, now you're judging, saying the proof lies in your description
the way I judge facts is through the scientific method.
Right.
That's how I judge. That's how it's widely accepted.
So until you have a dead alien body in front of you,
so if there's
a selfie of a guy getting, you know, with a fucking gray. Hey, look, before we go, can we take a selfie? John's finally happy.
There's been millions of people. Look, there's a video of Bigfoot that I used to watch as a kid. Doesn't mean
even as a kid, I never believed that stupid video. It looked fake to me.
But
I'm not a scientist.
But the point of the matter is that there's a widely accepted way we determine what's true and what's not. Okay? And that's in a repeatable scientific method. So until there is a repeatable scientific method that we can, you know, there's a theory that there's life outside of the universe, we outside of our known world, we haven't seen it yet. The point being is that I believe that. I believe that there is life, intelligent life out there, even though I've never seen it and there's no proof of it. The difference being is if that proof comes down that there absolutely is not, we've explored every corner of the galaxy and we have not found it, then my belief changes. Then I go say, okay, there is no life.
Of course,
in the
because it's but the galaxy is infinitesimal, I should say. So you don't have the ability to come up with that conclusion.
Well, that's not true, but
yes, it is. Isn't that you think? You said the universe has a barrier. You think the universe is like
I don't know,
like a racquetball court.
Does I don't
like,
well,
there's
but,
a ball. There's okay, place the ball can stop going.
Scientists have shown that the universe is expanding, right? So if that's the case, if it's infinitesimal, then it can't be expanding.
Listen,
because infinitely.
I'm trying to make this simple. You know, based on the universe. You said you want to prove it, so there's no way to prove
it. The only statement I'm making is that the difference between religion and science is that when evidence is presented, the belief in science changes. There's a theory. If that theory is proven wrong, then nobody still believes in that theory. Religion isn't like that.
So let me ask you a question. If you're sitting one there at the golf, you're playing golf, and you got to take a piss, and you go take a piss over there, and all of a sudden the bush lights on fire and says, John, you've had it wrong all this time. You know, and then at that point you would believe, right? Because that would be the evidence you would be looking for.
In what?
If in fact
in
that
religion?
Happened. Yeah, like if you said, I'm God, you know, and like this cloud of an old man with a beard was sitting there going, you had it all wrong, and, you know.
And I'd be like, Dougie, take off that stupid fucking costume.
I almost had him!
Dougie, take off the stupid fucking costume and get a fire extinguisher for this bush.
Yeah, shit, I thought that would work. Got a fucking, like, you
know, good one.
Like a fire extinguisher going behind me.
Good one.
Yeah, I got to save you from hell, John, that's all I'm trying to do for you.
That's the other thing I hate about religion.
Yeah, well, listen.
Don't save me. Don't.
No, I don't want to save you.
Work on
yourself. Give a fuck. Go to hell. I don't give a shit.
Work on yourself.
Trust me. By the way, speaking of that, on Christmas Eve, you know, some Jehovah's Witnesses came by the door. You know, and I was by myself. My wife was running errands. I'm by myself. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, Christmas Eve. I'm like, really, dude? You guys are knocking on my door. You think I want to hear this on Christmas Eve? And
they're trying to save you.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Why are you faulting them? I mean,
listen, I got my burning bush thing going again. I said, look buddy, let me show you proof.
God told them what they had to do, and they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, they went to the next door after me. Speaking of golf, we played golf
on Friday. Actually,
I played golf for the first time.
I mean, that's what you want to call it.
Well,
no,
listen,
you actually played well. We Terry and I were talking. We didn't know what to expect. But you're a fairly good athlete. But I don't ever recall you ever telling me that you played golf. You didn't even have clubs, so I didn't know what to expect. But you actually did. You played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I was shocked. And like I was, you know, like when you golf, the first tee is always like nerve-wracking, right? You know, for the most part, especially when there's people watching, you know, and right. stuff like
you have
that.
Trouble people, performing when there's people watching.
Well, no, I'm not saying me. I'm talking
that's
in general.
That's why you don't use the
I'm
urinal.
Saying, I'm talking about in general, John. Okay. listen, that's what, see, you're already, you're worried so much about going to hell that now you're like, you're trying to like demonize me now and like find fault in me.
Well, I'm just saying you can't pee when other people are watching.
No, I could pee. You want to see me? Open your mouth. I need about 30 seconds. But
to find it?
To get the rhythm. Now the first tee is usually nerve wracking, especially if I hadn't played in over 3 or 4 years, I'm guessing, if not longer. But I had played. I had clubs. I used to play regularly. I had the game down in the 80s at one point.
This was in the 70s?
Yeah, that was just going to say. It was actually just after the 80s.
Right.
It was in the 90s, and I used to play 2 or 3 days a week. And that's anybody who knows golf, if you play 2 or 3 days a week,
yeah, you get pretty
you end up playing pretty decent. And I had a decent game. So we get to the first tee, and I pretty much smacked the drive. I did pretty good on the drive, and I thought, holy shit, this is going to be a good day.
And then you hit the second shot.
And then the second shot.
Right. That's know. Always the way that is.
You know,
I've got this game licked.
No, but you're right. Like, I was surprised. I thought that it was going to be, I thought I was going to play a lot worse.
Yeah, there's a lot of muscle memory when it comes to golf. Like, you know, if you got a swing that you, you know, even if you haven't, you know, the other stuff kind of gets rusty. You know, the short game, you don't have the same type of feel, like putting, you know, that kind of stuff. But if you've got a decent swing, even if you take a little bit of time off, that swing doesn't necessarily, you don't forget how to swing a golf club, you know.
And for the most part, when you do a golf swing, it's not, you're not really using muscle. You're kind of using motion. You're trying to get into a rhythm.
It's momentum.
Yeah, and you remember, like, you know, when I take the backswing, I know that when my club is at 9 o'clock, you know, the head's got to be pointing at 12 o'clock. You know, that's how the wrist has to kind of be. You know, I remembered some.
Yeah.
And then, it was like, hey, we were about the 8th or 9th hole, I can't remember what it was, and actually, I was playing a little better at the moment, because I said, oh, I remembered how I set up. Yeah, I used to stick the club straight out in front of me, get the angle, and then just drop it and swing away. And then, of course, I towed the ball. I hit it on a drive. Toad, and it was almost like when you ever play baseball and you swing the bat,
the
bat rattles.
Yeah,
it just killed my tendon.
Yeah.
on the arm, and I said, "Jeez, you know, I'm done." And I couldn't play for a couple of holes, and then night hit us. Hmm. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
And you know, I got to get new golf shoes. My golf shoes are so old that when I put them on, all the leather inside was just like melted, like corroded.
Mm-hmm.
My socks I threw away. You know. So,
It was it was a lot of fun. It was just disappointing that we didn't get to finish. I mean, we got through 17 holes, but still, it was a good time.
Yeah, it got a little dark.
And then I played today. So,
Xmas came and went. Christmas came and went.
Yep.
You know, I'm happy. I got my new little portable linear recorder. Mm-hmm. So, if I'm on the road, I can actually maybe do some shows from the road.
Sure.
So, that should be exciting. Did you get anything exciting?
I don't think I got anything.
No. You didn't get anything? Well, see, what happens when you're atheist.
Yeah,
you don't believe
is.
In anything.
Yeah,
no one says, John doesn't want anything.
Right. We didn't buy into the consumerism. We didn't. I mean, we decided as a family, like for the adults, not to exchange gifts. We just get it all to the kids. You know what I mean? Like, my nieces and nephew stuff and that type of stuff.
It's when you have kids like that, it's always funner to buy them shit.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you get to the point where it's like, okay, anything I want, I buy myself. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like I'm wanting for anything.
Well, that's what the wife and I do. You know, now we're off this week.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am. And then we're going to go out. You know, the stores,
right?
You know, just start, you know, just spend a little money on ourselves.
Yeah, that's really to me is the best way to do it.
It's absolutely.
And if I do anything for usually, it's like some type of, you know, I'll get them a restaurant gift certificate that they like. I know they like the restaurant or something they can experience as opposed to just, I got you know, here's a video game or, you know, that to me, that's such a waste.
Right.
You know?
But I am fortunate because after Christmas until New Year's, I usually try to take my day job off.
Right.
But I probably have to go in sometime this week to take care of some things. But Christmas is past.
Yeah.
You know?
2016 Christmas in the books.
And you know, like I said, it's like you said, it's not the same. You know, Christmas when you're young, it's exciting.
Sure.
And all this kind of stuff. And by the way, I hate the stupid commercials Mercedes does.
With Santa?
Where the kids, the parents or the kids, they're up, they can run outside.
And, I think it's Lexus, I think. Is that Lexus?
They both do one similar.
Yeah.
And it's horrible, okay? It's just fucking stupid. All right? It's just fucking horrible, stupid.
Dougie has spoken.
That's right. And it's terrible. It's like,
well, those two companies are such failures anyway. I can't believe their advertising is not.
It
you
is.
Know, I mean, disgusting. They really should talk to you if they want to make some
could
money and do well. Yeah.
Could you imagine what would happen if they let me take care of their advertising?
Oh, my God, forget about it. Yeah. Be as good as your golf game.
I'd be like the guy will be sitting there like, exactly, that'll be my first commercial. He's taking a piss and a burning bush tells the guy to buy a Mercedes.
Right, exactly, yeah.
While he's pissing.
Well, I mean, clearly they're already using Santa Claus, so they're into mythical things. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know. So if you had kids, you're not going to have kids, but
no.
you would tell them, let's say hypothetically, all of a sudden, let's say you're a stepdad. That's probably more believable. You know, you meet a chick that's got a kid, and the kid's like at a certain age, and he wants, you know, she wants the kid to believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Are you going to,
No, because it's not my child.
Right. Okay.
Like, that doesn't my, that's
right,
not
so
my place.
Let me change my thing. So now you have a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kid, you know, pretty much, you tell him right off the bat there's no Santa Claus?
My kid would never be that fucking stupid.
No, yeah, even kidding. At the age of three. He's going to walk around with glasses.
I don't know. That's such a it's a hard hype. Because I've never been a parent, so I don't know what. And there is definitely. I've seen a lot of my friends have now started to say, oh, we're going to teach the child that it's just a. You know, like
it's a myth. It's like a folk story.
Not even that, but they can say it's just part of the story. Of it. You know, it's not, he's not an actual person, but it's part of the story. And then other ones are like, no, they want to, you know, so, and then because they don't want to start lying to their child from the very beginning. They don't want to set that precedent.
Yeah. Like I can't tell you how stupid it is when I'm watching the news around Christmas. Like, oh, we got the Santa tracker. Santa tracker.
Yeah. But little kids and people grew up that way. And I get it. You know, I understand. It's ridiculous. the tooth fairy and all that other kind of crap that goes along. Yeah. With it, Easter Bunny, but you know, look, that's a very personal thing with children. You know, how you raise your child, and if that's the way you want to do it, okay, fine.
Yeah,
actually, I don't have a.
Yeah, then of course, kid grows out to be dry as toast and hangs himself because he doesn't know what color is like. Lastly, because now we're obviously next in line is New Year's.
Yes.
And, you know, then that's real depressing. After New Year's, you're like, oh, fuck, here we go.
Well, yeah, because like, now it's the year. Basically, you got a whole other year to go.
Like January 2nd and 3rd is like the Monday of the new year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like.
And actually, this year, literally, that's
it
the
is,
case. January 2nd is Monday.
It's a fucking Monday. And usually, like, you know, if New Year's is like on Tuesday or, you know what I mean, you're off until that month. You're off Monday. That Tuesday, you're like, well, do I really have to go in? And then if you do go in and work on Wednesday, well, I got 3 days.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not too bad. But it is. It's Monday. So this year, 2017, is going to be, you know, it's already a sign, you know, the dry blood didn't liquefy in that church, which is a sign of bad things.
The what?
It's a story we talked about. It's the blood that didn't, it's like a very, in this patriarchal church, there's this blood they've had for centuries that every sometimes it liquefies, it goes from dry to liquefy, and this year it didn't do it when it was supposed to.
Well, what does that mean?
Bad things are going to happen.
It's like the groundhog in the shadow.
It's a lot worse
because clearly the
groundhog, really, even though you see it, he's really not like Santa Claus. He does. There's no real like that. Like he is kind of like Santa Claus if you go to different department stores. There's different ones like that. That's not what's his name?
Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil is not the same fucking groundhog.
Well, neither's James Bond over the years, but I mean,
yeah, I know, but exactly. There's different, you know, if you're going to,
at least in this scenario, there is an actual groundhog and there's an actual shadow.
Yeah, I know, but that these makes it worse because, but there's no power there. You know,
but this dried blood is,
well, listen, I you know, sometimes, you know,
it's so ridiculous.
There's like a guy with a big hat in church with a robe holding it
up. And he's telling you.
It looks very
convincing. And then he passes around a plate for everybody to put money
That's
into
right.
It.
Make your donations.
Right.
See, it's your
we'll get some liquid blood next year.
It's your fault why the blood's not liquefying.
Right, because you didn't donate enough of your income.
Right. You keep giving us checks.
Yeah.
But New Year's is coming around the corner.
Yes,
and New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
And this is a big year for me because I'll be 50 in 2017.
Yeah, nice.
What
month?
In April.
April.
So big 50th birthday party putting together.
Nice.
A select group of friends. And I only say that because it's going to be a trip.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we're going to go to an all-inclusive
resort.
Resort. You know, probably in Dominican.
Nice.
Maybe Costa Rica. I don't know. We're looking at a couple different places. And you know, so it's going to be a big thing. So, you know, I tried it 1 year. I didn't make it where I wasn't going to drink or smoke.
Oh, this was going to be your resolution.
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant on this trip. But I was like,
no. Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go on our 50th birthday party. Guess what? I'm not going to drink or smoke. You know, so I might as well not masturbate either.
I'll be right.
Where I'm not going to drink and smoke from January 2nd all the way to my birthday.
You've tried that and it didn't work, or are you going to do it this year?
I've tried it. I was one of my attempts on my New Year's resolution to do it. I think I did pretty good up until like January 4th.
No. I was just going
to
say.
I made it through the month of January 1 year. I felt, and that's
what's the purpose of this? Just to show that you can do it?
I mean, one, to do it, to see how my body, you know, after years of being a certain way, you know, to see how much better I feel. And then hopefully either A, it'll take root and say, you know what, I'm going to try this for ever for a while. You know what I mean?
Or until we get to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, or at least I get to the Dominican.
Right. And I vomit in the first hour because I haven't had alcohol all year.
Yeah, I'm going to be like a real rookie.
Yeah.
I'm going to look
your
like
white a girl wasted on the flight.
Yeah. Everybody, my wife's going to bang someone else because look at my husband. He's asleep.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? I just know that I just thought it was.
So are you going to do that again?
I'm really thinking I want to do that. And, you know,
sounds like you're really committed.
Yeah.
I'm really thinking about doing it. I really am.
I'm possibly thinking.
By Wednesday, I'm going to decide if I want to decide to do it.
Now, listen, I know I have challenges because, you know, I work in clubs. So I always say to myself, it's hard not to drink when I'm at a club because, you know, okay, another bottle of water. Yeah, another bottle of water. You know,
yeah, that water. Fuck that shit.
I mean, you know.
Staying hydrated. Fuck it.
No, but I mean, you know, and then, of course, I thought, you know, maybe I'll just get like a ginger ale, make it look like a drink, you know, or like some.
Is it because of the perception issue? Are you worried about the perception?
It's just that it's just being in that. I know how I am. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at the bar watching the show. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, you know, y'all have a, you know, fucking juice. You know, I don't know. So I'm just saying it's hard. In other words, these are going to be challenges. And of course, smoking, you know, when stress comes and fucking, you know.
And you're not talking about cigarettes.
No.
Because you don't smoke cigarettes.
No, I don't smoke cigarettes. So, you know.
Hmm.
And maybe, you know, whether or not there's going to be an escape clause where smoking means, okay, I didn't smoke, but I vaped. Or
you're already putting conditions on this.
Listen, I'm just telling you, you know, sometimes you need these
things. I'm
going to
lose weight. Except there's an escape clause where I can gain weight if it's like the weekend.
Yeah, if I lose 3 pounds after gaining 5, that's still losing.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then drinking, like, you know, every once in a while, maybe a glass of red wine, which is actually healthy.
Mm.
You know what
it's
I mean?
Amazing how you're already, like there's already these caveats on this.
Yeah.
So the answer is no, you're not going to be able to do this. That's the bottom line.
All right.
See, I believe in making resolutions that are like realistic, like, like fairly easily achievable resolutions of things that you want to do.
All right. For example, maybe I won't drink or smoke during the week.
Well, there you go. See, that's a good way. Because the truth of the matter is, there's no way you're going to go the rest of your life without drinking or smoking. It's just something that you do. But, well, because you don't abuse it. You know, it's not like you have a problem with it. It's just something you do. It's a social thing, and you know, it's relaxing for you at some point. So it's not detrimental to your life.
Right.
And that's why I asked why you were doing it. I don't know if you want like maybe get a little bit healthier or whatever that is. But like my resolution this year is to drop less ice. Like, I tend to drop a lot of ice when I'm making drinks and stuff, taking ice out of the freezer. Like, for whatever, I don't know if I grab too much at a time and it slips out of my hand.
I've done that. Right. You grab too much yogurt.
I drop 3 or 4 cubes every single time I get ice out of the freezer. So my resolution this year is to drop less ice.
Drop less ice.
Yeah.
That's going to help the
environment. It's very environmental. Yeah. You know, I'm saving water.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have to bend over as much with a paper towel.
Yeah. I know what you mean, though. Like, sometimes I'll reach in because I hate using the one on the machine. It takes too long. I'd rather open
it. And it usually splashes, too, if there's liquid in the glass.
Yeah, and it's like, and you're sitting like a dope waiting.
Right.
And then, so I'll reach in, I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to seem like I'm a small hands guy.
Right.
You know, I come out with a couple cubes.
Yeah. You want to grab a fistful.
Yeah, I want to grab
enough. But they always slip out. They always fall on the ground, and they always break.
You squeeze a little bit, and one shoots out.
Right.
And then it lands. Then instead of landing there where you can just pick it up, then it shatters.
This is a big problem.
And then you got shit everywhere.
See how big of a problem
now
this is?
Now you need a fucking mop.
That's right. And this is why this is my resolution.
So
it's a good resolution. If you think about it first, you're like, drop less ice. But then you think about it.
But then you realize how much chaos it causes.
Correct. See?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm going to use less ketchup.
I couldn't do that. I love ketchup.
Yeah.
I do.
That was a question on a cruise with the wife. It was like a dating game or on the cruise.
Oh, yeah. Like the
and they said, what's your, I was behind. You know, she was asked, what's my favorite condiment?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, she watches me eat French fries.
Mm.
You know, I'm the kind of guy when I order stuff, I eat the French fries first.
Hmm.
Right. You know, a sandwich, because they're hot. I like to eat them.
Sure.
And then I'll eat my sandwich or whatever. And I always get ketchup. What would you think that my wife answered as my favorite condiment?
Salt.
Close. So soy sauce.
Yeah.
She told them soy sauce.
Do you use a lot of soy sauce?
No, I don't use a lot of soy sauce.
Oh, wow.
I used to when my wife and I first dated because that's where she seems to remember everything about me is back when we first started going out.
Well, really, once you said I do, she didn't have to pay attention to the rest of your
life. That was it. She didn't give a fuck. She stopped paying attention.
I always have this argument with a friend of mine about the difference between a seasoning and a condiment.
Yeah.
Like, is salt a condiment or is it a seasoning?
Hmm. Condiments have to be in some sort of containment.
Well,
right.
you mean we just leave salt laying around on the table? We just grab it by the handfuls? No, that was the worst. That was that.
trying to find some similarity.
My thought is that a seasoning is added during the cooking process,
right?
While a condiment is added after.
Right.
So things can be both. Like if you add salt while you're cooking the food in the recipe,
right,
that makes it a seasoning. But if you put it on afterwards, that makes it a condiment. Right. Same thing with mustard. If you add mustard to a recipe,
yeah.
That doesn't make it a condiment.
For the most part, you can add anything to anything at this point.
Well, no, but if like, you're making a you know, mustard chicken sauce,
so you
know,
mayonnaise, you can add mayonnaise to salad.
Well, if you're making tuna salad, right? Yeah. Tuna salad or egg salad. That's part of the recipe. That's not a condiment at that point. But if you were to put more mayonnaise on after you made the sandwich, then to me, it's a condiment.
Yeah, well, it's exciting stuff. But
let's go back to the no God thing. That's better.
That's better. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and is salt a condiment? I don't know, John Levine. What do you think?
Depends on when it's added.
That's right. And we'll be adding some more laughs and some information. We come back for segment two after this. Hey, this is Dougie Almeida from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I was recently in El Paso, Texas, and I found myself a new home away from home. That's right, the Courtyard Marriott Airport right there in El Paso. I was out working at the Comic Strip. Beautiful club, by the way. If you're ever in El Paso, you got to stop by. Great place. Beautiful hotel. Big room. Nice big TV. I got a room with a balcony. Was awesome. The place has a beautiful pool. They got a gym. I didn't use the gym, but it looked great. All the equipment looked magnificent. And of course, they serve Starbucks coffee 24 hours a day right there on the premises. But if you're a real diehard Starbucks nut, there is one right around the corner. You could walk to it. I didn't walk to it, but they got a great big parking lot. You can park and drive a little bit. Anyway, the Courtyard Marriott Airport in El Paso, Texas. Go out there and great staff, meet them, say hi, tell them you heard it on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and I'm sure they'll fluff your pillow for you. The El Paso Courtyard Marriott Airport. Stop by and say hi.
Hey, this is John Levine, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, where I'm not always right, but Dougie is always wrong.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
George Michael.
Sad.
Dead at the age of 53.
You're getting close. How does it make you feel?
I know. I'm thinking about it. Like, I remember when his video came out with Wham, you know, go, you know, what was that song again?
Wake
Me Up Before You Go, Go.
Yeah.
And I was in high school when that song came out, and he was really only like
a couple years older.
Yeah, like 3 years older than me.
Yeah.
So he was probably like 20, 21, 19. I think I was like older. I think I was like a senior.
Maybe well, you 16, failed 17. Some grades. I mean,
yeah, I failed. That would never happen, John.
Look how mad you get.
I was an athlete. Okay, I got by.
Oh, that's right. So they did your home. They did your homework for you.
Right. All those basket weaving classes
that's,
I took.
That's right. Underwater fire prevention.
That's right. Hey, I had coaching soccer in college. Anyway,
and you're so proud of it too.
I am. I got an A. Anyway, George Michael, did they say why he...
Well, it was heart failure. But they didn't say if it was like from something else. You know what I mean?
People always ask if somebody's gay, if they suffered from something AIDS-related.
I have no idea.
And nobody wants to report that anymore, in a sense. Because, you know, think about it. Like, so many people are living with AIDS.
Yeah, right? it's really become a manageable, you know, or like more of a chronic condition, you know, like a diabetes or something. But I don't think AIDS, I don't think it causes heart failure. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to, usually that's not what you die of.
Yeah. some sort of complications because of your immune system.
Yeah, usually it's like you get sick with like pneumonia, you know what I mean? Right. Something along, or yeah, is there some type of cancer that comes along? But heart failure, you know.
At 53, though.
At 53, I mean, was he a big drug guy? I was trying to think of that. Was he a big drug guy to go rehab?
He had bouts with,
I mean, that puts a lot of stress on
him. Yeah, I mean, anybody has a heart failure at that age, there's cocaine.
Yeah, cocaine, I mean, but also if you're a big alcoholic, I mean, any of that stuff puts a big strain on your system.
Yeah,
you know,
some of the things in his past, he got in trouble for soliciting some guy in a bathroom.
Yeah, I remember.
Right,
that, yeah.
You know,
it was in London, wasn't it? I think it was in London.
So. Yeah, and you know,
good thing no one ever saw your face.
Hmm.
Nothing.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, you know,
that's just sad. Sad because he was a good performer. He was a good entertainer. You know?
Right. I don't remember anything he's done lately.
Well, he did close out the 2012 Olympics in London. He performed on the closing ceremonies.
Did he do the Wham song?
I'm sure he did one of his more popular. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm not a big music guy, but I don't know what his latest albums were or anything like that. So
you got a collection of his music?
Yeah, I have the signed albums. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Along with a life size Wham poster in my bedroom that I got out of Tiger Beat.
That's right. Yeah. I still have that T-shirt with the splattered paint on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen.
Yeah, remember those big, like the oversized T-shirts that were like the neck cut out of it, and, like the hang off the shoulder?
I mean, think about all the stupid fashion. Like when I, you know, it was like big, like I remember when the first times I went to Europe and I was in Gibraltar, there was like this one, like they were my friend, you know, my cousins, you know, and I meet their friends. And there's one chick that looked like Joan Jett.
Hmm.
You know, she had the haircut and the fucking
leather,
you know, and all
jacket.
That shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like, oh, look at Joan Jett. You know, she got mad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? You know,
she's like, I'm why? Fonzie, motherfucker.
Yeah. What's the matter with you? Hey. You know what I mean? But she got, like, I would be offended. Like, and the Madonna chicks,
mm-hmm.
the girls that dress like Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And, I remember in high school, there was this girl from another school that liked me. And I had a newspaper article came out, and this girl liked me. And the girl I was dating went to her same class. So the girl had the photo of me on her desk.
Right.
In the newspaper, because my buddy Paul was going to introduce me to her.
What does it have to do with fashion?
No, I'm just saying. Oh. Well, so, and then, you know, she's, and so this girl, she looked just like Madonna and the Some Boy Side, you know, a Material Girl video. She looked just like her. That's what this chick looked like. She was hot. And my girlfriend at the time cock blocked me. You know, because I was going
What a bitch.
I know.
What a bitch that she didn't let
that. That should have been the beginning sign that she wasn't going to work out for me.
Right. That you're getting cock blocked by the person you're in a relationship with.
Back in the good old days where if you went to another school, you could bang chicks.
Right. Before cell phones.
Yeah, before social media.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
Beat me.
That's why I always had girlfriends out, you know, from different high schools.
Beat me 911.
I never liked dating girls in my high school. I did for a little bit.
What about guys?
Nah, yeah, you know, it's all in the down low.
You're in the locker room.
Yeah, don't tell anybody about it.
In the locker room with all those guys.
Yeah. So, you know.
You spent your high school years with a lot of naked men.
Not really.
Being an athlete.
You're changing a lot
of locker room.
I'd probably say more in college. There was a lot more.
So high school and college. That's fine.
And yeah, I saw a lot more dick in college.
Right. It's good for you.
Hey, listen, I'm happy. You know, I know I measure up.
Okay. In height.
No, and listen, don't make me hit you on the head with it. My dick looks like a Modelo beer bottle.
You might want to get that checked out.
Yeah.
just FYI.
I even put the label on it. Just to, like,
what is that? It's a bottle cap.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Worry
it's a Halloween costume.
You know, I thought this story was actually from last week, but I wanted to bring it up because I wanted to get your thoughts on it. But I'm sure you heard the news about, and again, segment two is all about news that we kind of should know about, right? Husband of man who harassed Ivanka Trump trolled on Amazon. You saw the gay couple. Ivanka Trump was on a JetBlue flight.
Yeah, so I saw that. I didn't really get into the article.
From Palm Beach to whatever. The basis of the story was...
Yeah, she was being harassed on the flight. But
now, you
were
know,
they a gay? I don't know, but I don't know who
gay
did.
Gay couple.
Okay.
And, you know, the thing is, when I think about the plight of homosexuals, like, they don't want to be... obviously they don't want to be looked down upon, they don't want to be judged, they don't want to be discriminated against, they don't want to be
They want to be treated like everybody else.
They want to be treated like everybody else, right? They want to be respected. They don't want to be ridiculed. They don't want to be pointed at. Here is a gay couple that's going to just come out and point out, you know, like to me, it's very hypocritical. The guy's going to come out and just say, oh, we can't be on the same plane with Ivanka Trump. She's a Trump. She's a this, a that. You know, wouldn't you find that very hypocritical of someone to try to just kind of point out somebody, whether it's their political or their sexual out, their views on that? You know, you would think that if you want to be that open, to me, it's if you want the world to be that open to the way you conduct your life,
right,
and decisions you make and how you live your life and how the path you follow, why would you be so hateful against somebody like that?
I'll be honest with you, I don't know enough about the details
of
the story.
Well, forget about knowing about it, but just answer the question.
Because to me, it would be the same as if a black guy was seated next to a white supremacist on the flight. I would not expect him to...
Are you trying to say that one is hatred? You can't compare the two.
But listen, I'm not... What I'm saying is that these people felt that way. They felt that Donald Trump is.
But this is his daughter.
I get it. I'm not... Listen to me, I'm not...
family.
Again, I'm not excusing their behavior, and I'm not explaining it away, but what you asked me why this would happen, right, and I would think that would be the same feeling.
So what you're saying is a feeling that comes from the inside.
I feel that this person thinks a certain way about me as a person, and I don't want to be near that person.
So my question is, this is very hypocritical. This is a person that doesn't want others to take feelings of the way they feel about certain things and then have them become projected onto that person. They would want that person to keep it to themselves. You know, gay community doesn't want the religious community to say, "Hey, we think this is wrong. We want to change."
But they are saying those things.
But my point is that you don't want them to do it. And if you don't want somebody to do that, then you should lead by example. Like the other thing, if you want to receive love, you got to give love, right? That's the old expression. If you want respect, you got to give respect. And this is where it's twisted. This is where I see no hope in the fact that this country, everybody wants to be special. Everybody wants things they want. But the minute they can turn on someone else that they don't, the way they don't like it, they cause a disruption on a plane in front of kids in one of the most disrespectful manners. Here is an educated guy, a guy that writes. He's not some dopey fucking idiot that just fell out of a trailer park. This is an educated guy that decided to use this moment to project himself in this manner. And I find it even more hypocritical because, A, he's gay. He should have said, listen, I'm not going to lash out at somebody for whatever reason I'm lashing out with them, because I wouldn't want somebody to lash out at me and put us back in all these periods. So it does. To me, it's an incredibly hypocritical moment.
What if he wasn't gay? And he did the same thing.
Then he's being an asshole.
But that's where I'm getting is why if he's not gay, he's an asshole. But if he is gay, he should not do those things because
the average white heterosexual person isn't demanding certain things. The average heterosexual black man, if he was claiming that they're white supremacists and stuff, then that's a whole different story. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about this.
But it's the same feeling.
No, it's not. You're talking about different things. You're talking about a situation where here's a guy.
But you're asking why this guy's doing that.
That should represent his community in a sense and say, like, look, I'm not, why would I be a complete, first of all, as a human being, he's an asshole. He caused a disruption on an airplane. If I'm sitting on the airplane, I got to wait because this fucknut wants to express himself. That's the first thing I'm going to be upset with. The second thing is that he's insulting a person of stature, a person that has, you got to respect in one way or the other. If you don't, then don't. Then just shut your fucking mouth. But you don't go and then if you're going to rouse your wife, you're definitely not going to do it with the kids.
What did he do? Like, I don't. That's what I'm saying. I didn't read the articles. I don't know what he did.
He got up and started berating her and to tell her she wasn't deserved. And you're horrible. Why are you on? You should be flying. But I can't. This is a ruined flight. My flight's ruined now because this person's on.
See,
here.
That to me, regardless if he's gay or black or what, it's just being an asshole. It's not being a good human being.
And then, secondly, what I'm saying is, it is hypocritical when a gay man and a heterosexual man have different, in a sense, of what we're standing. In other words, you don't have a bunch of heterosexual men trying to bond together to become important. Or cause like the million. You don't have the million guy heterosexual march. You don't have
You've got all these white power groups trying to do that.
I'm not talking about racism. I'm talking about minority.
I'm not talking about
John. Can I just say something? We're talking calling it a minority. There's a minority that wants to step up for itself and wants everybody to recognize their rights and treat them a certain way.
But that's the same argument these white power groups use, is that we're now in the minority. White people are not allowed to believe in white power anymore. Hold on,
I'm all for that. I think they can speak for white power. Let them do whatever they want. They have the right to do it.
But But they're doing the exact same thing that the gays are doing.
But I'm not saying that. If a white supremacist got up there and started complaining because Obama was on a plane, he'd be a dumbass too. Because he's like,
that's my point. But, is this has nothing? I don't think it has anything to do with what the person is.
So what I'm saying is,
this
it
is
does.
Just not being a good human
it
being.
It does. It is first and foremost that, but secondly, to a group, when you represent a group.
But by that rationale, Dougie, that means if I represent this group, so I just shut up and not say
anything.
No,
that doesn't mean that. That doesn't mean that. The fact that you outstep your boundaries of being a normal human being, and now that brings that to light. It brings it more to light. Like, you would think you would be a little more respectful to others when you
You're gay.
No, because you've been fighting for that respect. You've been picketing for that. You've been demanding
it. But I think what this person felt.
I don't give a fuck what he felt. My point is that it's hypocritical that if somebody is from a community that they expect to be treated a certain way with respect.
Well, what he's saying
is that
Trump and his family are not treating those people with respect.
Well, then
that's what I'm saying. That's what he felt like. That's why he did this.
Right, and he was hypocritical in the way he acted. He didn't. It's easy for him to want something. And this is my problem with a lot of people in this country.
People like to stand up for what they believe in.
Yeah, but
it all the time.
No, I do it too. But at the same time, I'm not a hypocrite. Where I stand up for something, where I'm going to step up on somebody else on the other end. I'm not going to disrespect somebody on the other end. If I expect somebody to listen to me, I'm going to listen to them. If I expect somebody to,
I understand,
you know what I'm saying?
Part,
so don't bring me into this because it has nothing to do with it. The point is that you're fighting so hard. You can't accept the fact that it is hypocritical. It is hypocritical. It would be hypocritical if a preacher says to you, "Listen, you really shouldn't sin," and then goes and steals money from the counter. That would be hypocritical. That's a simple act of hypocrisy. Okay, and this is the same thing.
Okay, but what's the gay person doing?
He shouldn't be ridiculing somebody for who they are in front of other people. It's almost like
because he gets ridiculed.
No, because he should respect the fact that he doesn't want to be ridiculed. He doesn't want to be pointed out in a group. He doesn't want somebody screaming from a room,
but that's the thing. This is where you're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing any
point.
Hold
on. You spoke. Let me speak.
He's a hypocrite.
If he was berating her for something that she was, okay, that your argument would hold water.
Because she's a Trump. That's why he was hypocriting him for being a Trump.
Can I finish?
He was a hypocrite.
Do you want to have a conversation
or no?
You
just said that. But I'm.
What I'm saying is the reason he was berating her is because of the way he perceives the Trumps to treat them. Because of something she is.
Yeah, John, religious people ridicule gay people for the way they treat others, for the sodomy, for the way they think their lifestyle is, perversion. When somebody badmouths or feels a certain way about somebody, it's because they have this illusion of the way they think things are, that they don't. Like, in other words, they have their own perception of this thing, which is not correct. In this case, this gentleman has his perception of the Trump and his family, what everything they stand for against this.
Well, I don't know if that's incorrect.
No, well,
he's going based on what they've done.
I'm not what I'm saying.
He's going based on their own behavior.
No. See, then you side with him. Then you should have stood up next to him and said the same thing to him.
No.
Then shut the fuck up because that's my point.
Dougie, you just think he should have just shut up and taken it.
I do think he should have shut up and just went on his plane. Why should he get up and start yelling at the lady?
I'm not saying he should have, but that has nothing to do with him being gay.
That's what I'm saying to you.
You're saying it's hypocritical because he's gay.
It is hypocritical.
And gay people should just, if they don't want the attention on them, they should just shut up and let everybody else do everything. And that's what you're saying.
They should respect the fact that they wouldn't.
See, this is the problem.
No, it's not a fucking problem.
Well, it's a problem for you.
And this guy, he conjured up in his mind who Trump is and his family. Like a homophobe. John, try to follow my logic.
Is he the only person that thinks that?
I don't give a fuck how many people. How many people think gays are fucking the end? How many people are homophobic, John? Tons of people.
In this room, one.
No. Joe, how many people are homophobic? There's plenty of people. How many people? Are you trying to tell me that people don't hate on gays?
No,
are you trying to tell me
that
people that are?
But you're asking me how many people are homophobic. I have no idea.
You just said that. Why? Because people believe that Trump is a certain way.
But that's based on his behavior. It's not. This guy is not conjuring that up from thin air,
John. Well, God, no, Ben. People don't come up with their images of gay people out of thin air. It comes up from years of experience and things like that, and any kind of thing. John, do me a favor. Don't minimize my thinking by trying to tell me that your personal opinions of Trump.
It's not just me, Dougie.
Well, then the half of the country that feel the way about a guy
more than
are not right. Okay, just trying to understand something. They're not right. And the other half are not right. You can't sit there and just claim to be right. And when I'm trying to talk and compare that conversation to gay people. Because then in that case, what you want to do is you want to say that your belief of something crosses over everything and supersedes my belief of something else. So there's no way
Wait, what?
Because what I just said about the guy being a hypocrite. The fact that you don't follow that only tells me that you want to be right in this conversation.
No, it has
you have
to
no
do with
concern
that.
About.
Listen,
you have no concern about. No, let me.
No,
tell,
it doesn't.
You have no concern because the fact is, if I'm of that feeling, that's hypocrisy and that's the problem. When you keep saying that,
but it's not making any sense.
It is. When you're in a minority and you feel a certain way and you feel that you don't like when people do a certain thing or act out a certain way.
What you're saying is that guy should not call out anyone else for their bad behavior because homosexuals are looked at with bad behavior.
No, you should call.
That's what you're saying.
He is a hypocrite by calling out for somebody from his conjured up thought, of which a part, not everybody. It's not fact of 100% true like you like to have fact. It's not true. It's their opinion of this guy and his family. So for him to take his opinion of their family and everything that family stands for.
Do you understand why he's mad at Trump?
Yes, I understand.
Okay, so it's not conjured up. I mean, you understand why? You understand why he's upset?
I don't give a fuck. My point is that people feel. I'm never going to try to change the way people feel. And if you think you can, then you're imagining things. Okay, people will feel a certain way whether you like it or not. We accept it. We tolerate. That's tolerance. One of the biggest things of personality is tolerance. Okay, so if you're going to tolerate differences, okay, that's my point. It's hypocritical when you are expecting others to tolerate when you become intolerant. That is hypocritical. I'm not saying that he should not say anything. Let me finish my
point. What's he intolerant?
He's intolerant of her sitting in the same airplane with him because of things she believes, he believes she stands for. And it's that simple. Forget about all the other little examples. It's that core of the situation that makes it hypocritical. And I'm not saying that if somebody was, he should shut up. No, what I'm saying in that moment, it's hypocritical that he decided to stand up and do what he did. That's what makes it hypocritical. Not that in your little scenario, what if he should? No, I'm not telling him to never say a fucking word. I'm saying in that instance, it's
but
evident
if he's, but if he's
that
standing,
he was a
but
hypocrite.
But if he's standing
he
up and fighting what he perceives to be intolerance,
in
the intolerance
asshole.
Of the...
No, he's not.
Listen,
he's interrupting somebody.
I'm not saying what he did was right.
But again, it
has nothing to do with him being
right.
gay. It has nothing to do with him being gay.
He's a hypocrite.
He's a bad human being.
He's a hypocrite.
No, he's standing up for his beliefs.
No, he fucked it. He's a hypocrite.
He did it wrongly.
That makes him hypocritical. When people do things wrong.
Hypocritical is when you're doing the same thing that somebody else is doing to you.
No.
That's what hypocritical is.
So he's
intolerant of her for her intolerance.
Well, when's the last time you saw Ivanka talking? This goes back to the perception that Trump has. It's all about decisions.
This goes back to the perception that Trump has.
She is not Donald Trump. She is Ivanka Trump.
She represents
Trump.
His family.
No.
Family.
But all
Hitler had kids too.
All right, see, there you go, being a fucking asshole.
Well, but
you talk about me making factual points, and now you're going from one silly fucking example.
I was just making an analogy.
No, you're just trying to throw things off course.
Not.
He is not Donald Trump.
She is not Donald Trump.
All right, she is not Donald Trump. His kids aren't. They're family.
But she supports him.
I don't give a fuck.
Well, what do you mean?
That has nothing to do with it.
But if you join the army, you support what the army does.
All right, forget it, John. You're stretching now.
I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
But it has nothing to do with it.
Okay, so then if one gay guy is a murderer, then all gay guys are murderers.
No, because you just said that.
Because they're related.
That makes no sense.
They are not the same
action. That's an action.
Are they the same
person? That's an action, not a support. If I join a white supremacist group, I support that group.
Does Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump have the same exact feelings about everything, John?
I don't know.
No, you don't.
Maybe they do.
Nope.
Maybe they have the exact same.
Well, you're just saying they did. You're saying that they are the same person.
No, I'm saying she supports her father.
No, so what? She supports.
And her father does things that are intolerant.
Does a mother not support an alcoholic son? Does a mother not support him? Does a mother not support a kid who's on narcotics?
So does that mean she's enabling him?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying she'll support him because of nature.
So that could be leading to what he's doing badly.
Things are done by nature, not by choice. That's my difference I'm trying to say. You're trying to say
gays aren't natural.
All right, now you're spinning like a
I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't know where that came from.
I'll let the listeners know we just went down that road, and you constantly going off track.
I'm not constantly going, but you brought up it's not nature. It's decision or something like that.
He's a hypocrite.
He's a bad human being.
He's a fucking hypocrite. Yeah. He's a hypocrite.
You use that word incorrectly.
I'm not using it. He's a hypocrite.
You are using it incorrectly.
He belongs to a group of folks that don't want to be pointed out and made ridiculed in public.
But they already were by her
fuck,
father.
I don't give a fuck.
By her father,
but not by her. But not by her.
But she represents her father.
Well, then
in this scenario, she represented her father.
Not only is he a hypocrite, but he's also somebody who has no control. He's somebody who has no fucking decency.
He got kicked off that flight, didn't he?
Right. Yeah. That's my point.
I didn't say he was a good human being. In fact, I admitted he was a bad human being.
Right. Yeah. bring up all this other stupid shit that has nothing to do with anything to make a fucking point.
Look how mad you are.
I am mad because
you are. You're very up. You get worked up.
John,
you see
John, let me.
You have to get very loud because your point holds no water.
That's the point. No, I have to get loud because you throw off a bunch of fucking tax and shit and the debris on the road.
I throw out logic.
The list. No, that's not logic. It's not logic when you compare your Hitler. You bring up Hitler now. You got to bring up Hitler. And we're talking about
Hitler. I use it as an analogy of people who bought into Hitler's way of thinking.
Right. And in comparison, you're not even. You take one aspect.
Well, I use the army first, and
you take one aspect of something out of millions of potential chemical and natural balances of life to make things happen in a world of chaos, and you take one scenario out of it, and you surmise in all your simplistic thinking, you surmise that to be the same as I compare it to A to B. That is the most ridiculous comparison in the world. None of them have their different times in history, their different times in life, their different circumstances, their different periods. And you're going to just take this isolated event just so you can take this little picture and put it in the vision of every listener out there to try to make a point.
That's what an analogy does.
No, it's not an analogy. It's a stupid analogy.
An analogy takes a very complex scenario and simplifies into something people can understand.
Let me tell you where
you can stop yelling.
Let me tell you where thinking. No, because if you ever want to see me angry, you can see me when I'm angry. You'll never know the difference because if you ever see me angry, that'll be unpleasant.
Right, now we're going violent, right?
Because
this is what you go. You go right to violence.
Because if I get angry, I'm going to make it personal.
This is how you solve problems.
I'm just make it personal. And that's the way we go because when somebody keeps side-skirting and dicking around.
Oh, no, so you're going to attack me as a person?
Well, you've attacked me. You're basically saying that.
How have I attacked you?
I don't know what I'm talking about. I keep using the word. That's wrong.
But in the scenario that you're using, it is incorrect.
No, it's not. It is correct. He is a person that should respect the environment of others. You don't sit there and attack somebody in public because of something you believe they feel. It's that simple. You don't attack
him
in public.
He was a bad human being.
That's hypocritical.
It has nothing to do with him being gay.
You're making this about him being gay. No, because I'm telling you, it's hypocritical.
Because he's gay. So if he wasn't gay, it wouldn't be hypocritical.
Yeah. He'd just be more asinine.
But it wouldn't be hypocritical if he wasn't gay.
Because if I'm of a minority and I want a certain treatment, then I'm gonna go out of my way to showing my temperament to being that way. Under all other circumstances, that's where self-restraint, self-discipline. Hold on a second.
So what about
that's
people protesting? What about people protesting?
I'm just telling you the difference between somebody who understands self-discipline and understands character.
Should homosexuals protest like the Supreme Court when they think things are voted
sure,
the wrong way?
They should protest anything.
But that's saying out things. That's drawing attention to yourself and criticizing other people for their beliefs.
That's a democratic process. That's freedom of speech. That's all in the Constitution.
And this isn't?
No. This isn't freedom of speech when you attack somebody.
It's freedom of speech. He can say whatever he wants.
But they're attacking individuals. They're not going up and protesting a movement. They're not up there trying to state something to show where their position is. What they're doing is they're attacking another person. They are physically endangering another person by whether it's verbal or whether it's...
So now you're worried about her safety.
It is. It's an attack on somebody.
So you're worried about her safety. That's what this is about.
No, what it is, you're invading somebody. It's one thing if you speak out on something. That's what this person was doing. No, he didn't. He got in her face. He was yelling at her, calling names. That's an attack, John.
But that's an attack on a person.
I got to take a break, John. I'm not going to do another thing. My point is, it's an attack on a person.
Just take a break.
No, John.
This is annoying.
You made the point. Is it wrong if a group goes out and protests a certain? Okay, no. So I answered your question. It's not.
This guy is protesting what her father does.
He's attacking her.
In the wrong way,
but there's no right way of attacking.
He's protesting how her father.
John,
acts.
If he got off the plane, let me.
If her father didn't do this, would he have attacked her?
Let me give you another example.
Let
me give you another example. If he had walked
before
off,
he had walked
off the plane after the plane had got off.
Yeah,
and as she walked away, and as people were going, he looked at everybody that walked on the plane and said, "You know, I really can't believe she." He wouldn't be a hypocrite. The fact that he attacked her and physically went toward her and
I'm not saying that was right.
Understand, this is what makes it hypocritical. It's on action,
no,
John.
No, it's not.
It's on action. That's not that he's gay.
But if he wasn't gay, it wouldn't be hypocritical.
It has to do with him being gay. Yeah, because he's
right.
To me.
So this is about him being gay.
If you as a group are demanding certain things in life that you don't feel you're getting and you're demanding it, and then at your own whim you go and make this type of thing, it's hypocritical, John. It's that simple.
No, it's not.
Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Straight From Headlines after this.
This is the Reverend Bob Levy, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. If you're not, you're probably sleeping, you lazy fucks.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight From The Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. It's time for Straight From The Headlines, where we talk about things that have happened around the world and make fun of it. That's right. Not real stories.
Well, they are real
stories. Well, they are real stories, but, you know, these are, you know.
More whimsical.
Yeah. Actually, before I kind of get into this.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What I thought was interesting last week was, see, anticipatory, your assumption.
Well, I thought you were going back to the conversation we just had.
What just happened there happens in your dialogue. You assume people are going certain ways.
No,
you phrased that the specific way
because you knew what.
I mean, I did. Boy, what a victim! Now I'm setting things up to draw you a certain way. Boy,
before we go on,
let's go back to what we were talking about. You don't give me credit for knowing. Next minute, you give me credit for knowing too much. What I thought was interesting was in Turkey, when they assassinated the Russian ambassador. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody really talked about it.
Well, it was talking.
I mean, it was talking, you know what I'm saying, but it wasn't like it was big. In other words, it was like, to me, it was like, wow, this kind of just, you know. And now, the plane goes down, a Russian airliner,
right,
heading to Syria with doctors in it and all kinds of fucking people. Plane crashes. Kremlin doesn't say they don't think it was a terrorist attack.
No, they came out today. They're saying they're looking at all possibilities, including terrorism.
Right. They're downplaying it. The story was Kremlin plays down possibility of terror attack. In other words, they're trying to, could be, not that they're not investigating it. Again, there's no absolutes, John. Okay, we understand.
That's what actual leaders do is they don't just jump to conclusions.
Well, yeah, okay. One minute you're bad-mouthing Russia, now you're saying they're great leaders.
No, but the point being is that our president's the one that something happens and all of a sudden he tweets out something in 2 seconds without even thinking about it.
It always was. He wasn't wrong in any of them.
Yeah, actually he was. And if you'd like me to go back,
no.
Like the Egypt Air that crashed over the ocean that ended up being mechanical failure, he came out in 15 minutes and said it was terrorism.
Yeah.
So he was wrong.
But the Pulse thing was, and the thing in California.
And whoever said that it wasn't.
I'm just saying. But those are things that people said that he did too.
Well, but what you're saying is as long as he comes out and says everything's terrorism, he's going to be right some of the time.
Terrorism exists.
That's great. That's a good call.
And anytime you want to just, you know, he's going to be your president. I just want to let you know so you can keep complaining and whining about it
like a bitch. Because you voted for him, right?
Yeah, I did. And thank God.
You told everybody you didn't.
No?
You told everybody you were not going to vote for him. So you did.
I've never told anybody I'm not going to vote
for him. You said it on the air.
No, I said I don't know who I was going to vote for yet.
So you ended up voting for him?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm going to vote for Hillary.
I don't buy it.
You don't think I voted for Trump?
I don't.
Okay, John.
I think you're playing the winner.
Yeah.
You might not have voted at all. I'm not saying you voted for Hillary.
I voted. I have photos up, the early voting, too. Mm. Yeah, so much for your thoughts.
I don't think you voted for
getting,
Trump.
Getting to racism, by the way, this was a story I didn't get to, but Drexel professor draws ire.
Ire. Yeah.
IRE. I'm thinking IRE, like in Jamaican, but it's
ire.
What is ire? I'm not familiar with the
expression. When you draw someone's wrath, you draw someone's some feeling, you know, of.
After posting white genocide tweet on Christmas. He said all he wanted for Christmas was white genocide or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Drexel
University.
Yeah, where's that again? That's in He's a Hispanic guy.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people thought he was black. He's not. He's a
so he wants. So he wants. What does he want? He wants white people. Every white person to die. Is that what he's saying?
White genocide, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't think I've ever used the term before. So it's,
you're smart enough to know ire, which is something I haven't heard or read in quite a long time. I thought how it fit, but when he said somebody says they're wishing for white genocide.
But is that white people committing genocide, or is that the killing of white people?
Hmm.
That's what I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, professor.
See, that's the thing. When I don't know something, I ask questions.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. I'm pretty inquisitive.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
You make a lot of assumptions.
No, I don't. I make a lot of... Once I speak things out, it's because I've looked at it.
So, but you've already assumed that it's about all white people dying.
No, when I first read it, when I said that, yeah, it was like, to me, I'm like...
Yeah, but now you're thinking, well, maybe it is white
people. I meant
that
as an absolute thing, like the genocide of white people. That's what I first thought, right? And then I read the story and started reading it, but, you know...
So what is it?
Well, it was a long story. I didn't get to read it all before we got the show started, so that's why I thought I'd share it with you when I wasn't going to. We didn't get to it in the second segment. A professor from Drexel University in Philadelphia is likely in hot water after professing on Twitter that all he wanted for Christmas was white genocide. And the interesting thing is that's right. Now, people read that, and everybody's coming up with their own potential what's it mean and all kinds of things, and... tweet quickly went viral after many conservative websites and individuals spoke out against it. Drexel was forced to issue condemnation as well. To clarify, when the whites were massacred during the Haitian Revolution, that was a good thing indeed, he tweeted.
So then he wants white people to die.
Yes. And I think it's a fair assumption when somebody says he wished for white genocide. He's basically saying he wished that this had happened. Whether whites did it, right, you know, white genocide means whites dying. I don't think white people would cause their own demise. I mean, not purposely.
Well, no, but again, it goes back to you're talking about the people committing the genocide? You're talking about the genocide is the people you're going after.
Yeah. A bio in Drexel's website says that Ciccarello, mayor, is an expert and frequent media commentator on social movements, particularly in Latin America. Ciccarello Mayer also teaches, researches, and writes about race, racism, prisons, and policing in the U.S. and internationally, including how race is associated with suspicion and guilt.
Okay.
Christmas Eve, I sent a satirical tweet about an imaginary concept, white genocide. He said, for those who haven't bothered to do their research, white genocide is an idea invented by white supremacists and used to denounce everything from interracial relationships to multicultural policies. So he's saying that white supremacists is the fuel. They said, like, we're losing our race.
Right.
Which, in fact, you have to admit, they are. I mean, you know.
What does that mean?
There's
always going to be white people. About minority and majority.
No, there's the world is becoming more homogenous, homogenized. You know what I mean? There's going to be, was that Time magazine put out the average person in 20, 30 years is going to look, like a mix between a Hispanic, Middle right. Eastern kind of guy. We're all going to, it's going to look eventually all the same. And in fact, white people are, you look at the
but that's in America. That's
no,
not,
no,
that's
we're going
not,
across, not, we're going around the world.
It's white, not in Germany.
No. The amount of white people in the world is from a majority is.
Do you ever think there's going to be no white people?
It's going to be a long time, but I think eventually with time, everybody will become like a blended race.
Okay,
there won't be much pure anything, right? You would think.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. I would think that eventually, you would hope that people recognize something in themselves. If everybody has a little bit of everything in them, they may not be that quick to criticize others. But the thing that scares me about that is the level of hypocrisy, because people, no matter who they are, still feel things they feel, which has no identity to who they really are. It's who they associate with and ideas they associate with. In other words, there's no real, like, when you watch in years ago when people would fight for country, there was this national, in a sense, whatever it was. But now people aren't really doing that anymore. They're fighting more for ideals or thoughts and different things. So that could be the monkey wrench in that whole scenario.
So where's the hypocrisy?
Is that people, they don't, when you fight for something, in a sense, you want to fight for something you truly believe, not what you're told to believe or think to believe or something like that. Or if you stand by something, this is what you want, that you wouldn't then in turn inflict that on your fellow human being because you're justifying it because it's a means to your end. Then it's hypocrisy. when you wouldn't, you yourself would not want to be treated a certain way, and then you treat other people that way. That's hypocrisy.
Yeah, but then you can argue that war is hypocrisy. It because is. Because I don't want to be killed, but if I kill somebody because they're attacking me. It's an old philosophical
statement. We're more at peace when we're at war. You know, because that's what
does that mean?
It basically means there's no, people are letting it go. They're not, you know, there's no more, hey, this and that, we got this tension. Now it's been let go, and whatever happens, happens. It's more like, you know, that's when we're truly letting everything out, as opposed to holding back and saying things in anger and, you know, it's a philosophy. Again, a philosophy is listened to, thought about, adapted, not adapted. It's not considered a way of truth or not, because the only way something could be true, for example, like all single men are bachelors, that's a true statement. But other than that, there's not that many things that you can obviously say are absolutely true unless time ends itself, because there's always a chance to change it. That's why I don't only look into something and find out. I realize that even after I find things out, that there's still a possibility that I cannot know what I don't know.
So what does that have to do with race?
Well, you're losing the race. That's what it means. Let's get back to the funny stories.
Did we ever get to the funny stories?
No, we haven't.
Oh, okay.
Thanks to you.
You're the one with the laptop reading the stories and choosing them. So let's be clear about the listeners with that. Yeah.
Since it's Christmas time, Sri Lanka claims they have the tallest Christmas tree ever.
Hmm.
Sri Lanka claims the world's tallest artificial Christmas tree. You know what? Yeah, everybody's big on that. Like, we have the biggest building. We have in Colombo, Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka unveiled a towering Christmas tree claiming to have surpassed the world record despite construction delays and 10 people dying on the whole thing. Feel the spirit. The 73-meter, which is 238-foot artificial tree.
It's pretty big tree, yeah.
238 feet. That's almost 3 football fields tall.
Yeah, what is that, 23
right,
stories?
Well, no, it's one football field
tall, yeah. But it's like 23 stories, right?
Yeah. Is also 59 feet taller than the current record holder. The tree's steel and wire frame is covered with a plastic net decorated with more than 1 million natural pine cones painted red, gold, green, and silver.
Okay, great, but now Christmas is over, so what do? Just take it down?
I know, I thought I had a bad time taking my Christmas tree.
Okay, great, hey, you got it, and then, all right, now take it down.
That's the worst. That's the worst part.
By the time
Christmas,
you're done taking it down, you got to put it up again for next year.
When I watch people around the neighborhood that put all that shit up,
yeah,
and then you know, it looks beautiful. Like, wow. And now, like a day like this, the day after Christmas.
Yeah, I got a theory about that though. The houses that are really decorated are usually the ones that have like a lot of kids.
Right.
And it's because the dads are like, "Hey, I'm going to go outside for like 6 hours and decorate
the
house and get the fuck away from the kids." And then it's like, "Oh, I got to take them all down. I'll be outside for another 6 hours by myself. No, I don't need any help. Thank you."
Yeah, get out of the house, kind of thing.
Yeah,
without leaving.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little peace and quiet.
I wonder why my wife does it, because she's the one who always puts the lights up.
Hmm.
Hmm.
At everyone else's house too.
Yeah.
I'm going to help out the neighborhood this year, honey.
Secret Santa, it was her cousin. I had my wife's cousin, and she wanted a brand new faucet for the house.
That's nice.
It's a really good one.
Bathroom or a kitchen?
I think it's a kitchen.
Yeah.
And I got it.
That shit's expensive.
Yeah. It was a couple $100.
Yeah.
And nice one. And I'm like, and then she was like, "Oh, this is great." And I said, "Yeah, by the way, for an extra $20, my wife will come and install it."
Yeah, there you go.
Russian man drives into airport, says he did it for love. Moscow, a Russian man who drove his car into an airport terminal and reached the departure gate says he did it for love.
He just loves Cinnabon.
Yeah, the Kazan Airport Administration says an intoxicated man rammed through the terminal's door late Wednesday and drove around inside. Video footage showed a battered Russian-made car, usually pieces of shit, drive past the check-in desk. They're small cars, by the way. And into a departure gate before it reached a railway terminal outside.
Hmm.
News website Kazansky Reporter on Friday quoted 40-year-old Russian Ruslan Nardinov, who told a court hearing that he had planned his route carefully. "I had to get on the platform. I was fighting for love." Nardinov said a lady friend was arriving at the railway platform, and this way he was that was his way of greeting her. "You got to do it the Russian way."
Yeah, yeah.
"I don't departure gate. That's for pussies." "Arrivals for pussies.
In Russia, airport drives you."
"Yeah, I get to gate." And you're sitting there, get out the fucking, you know, you walk through the tunnel of the airplane.
Yeah.
You got the guy sitting there with his little fucking car. "Let's go." "Hurry up. I'm double parked."
"Oh, there's my Uber driver."
Yes. Let's see. I had a, Yeah, let's do this story. About 70 employees get sick after health department party.
Hmm.
You would think at all the places you'd be safe.
You'd think.
Anybody check the fucking dip?
What they get? I mean, it's like food poisoning, I assume?
Yeah. No, they all got herpes.
No, I mean.
In Santa Fe, New Mexico, the New Mexico Department of Health says dozens of its employees became sick after its holiday party. So the reports say that about 70 staff members say they had gastrointestinal issues.
That'll do it.
After the luncheon last week. Well, they are in New Mexico. A spokesman says more than 200 employees attended the catered luncheon at the Harold Runnels building in Santa Fe. Health Secretary Lynn Gallagher said Monday that investigators have not identified a specific contaminated food, but they probably shouldn't have got it from
Chipotle. Yeah. I could see the wood burning in your head.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I haven't eaten there in so long, I forgot.
I eat Chipotle all the time.
It's good.
Yeah.
You know.
It was Listeria.
Yeah.
So it can happen to anybody.
It's not like that, you know, Bell ice cream. Remember that was the other one that had that problem?
Yeah, I mean, the cruise ships have like that norovirus. The problem with norovirus, people still go on cruises all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we live in a world where there's bacteria and shit, you know, and you do your best to avoid it. But my buddy was just in the hospital. He got sick from a Wendy's.
Really?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. And the doctor was like, yeah, it's this certain kind of like bacterial infection. He's like, it comes from fecal to mouth transfer. He's like, which means somebody probably didn't wash their hands before they went back to work and continue to make the food. So he was in the hospital for like 3 days because he was so dehydrated, you know? And then like his birthday was like the following weekend. So for his birthday, I got him a $15 Wendy's gift certificate.
What a dick.
Yeah. I put it in the card. Hey, you should try this place out. I hear it's the shit.
Whatever. Whatever,
dude. He thought it was pretty funny.
Whatever. By the way, that's our last story of the day. Whatever claims title as most annoying word in the U.S. poll.
Whatever?
Whatever.
Yeah, I could see it being annoying.
Right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, it's dismissive.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I say it to you all the time.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Poughkeepsie, New York, a poll has found that the most annoying word or phrase used in casual conversation in America is whatever. The Marist College poll released Wednesday indicates the word irritates 38% of Americans. The pollsters offered up five options. The most annoying word or phrase, whatever, no offense.
Yeah, that's
no offense.
Well, because it's usually followed by something that's offensive.
No offense, but
yeah,
you know, right? It's another one. You know, right?
Yeah.
That's just somebody who wants a little pat on the back.
Yeah.
Doesn't that usually signify...
At least that's more affirmative. You know what I mean? That you agreeing with somebody.
Yeah, right? But doesn't that usually tell you something about the person's personality and that they need, you know, a little consoling and,
right.
You know, they need to be, you know, am I right? You know, right? I can't even...
Oh, well, that's like a valley girl. I can't even
understand. I can't even begin to think or understand what you're feeling right now. I can't even believe. I can't even fathom.
Is that five? Is that all? Or is there one more?
And huge.
Oh, well, we know why that's annoying.
Yeah.
Huge. America's going to be great again. It's going to be huge.
Whatever. Yeah, that is kind of annoying.
Whatevs is worse, but whatever. Yeah. But whatevs is not really a word.
Whatever is losing some steam, though. Last year, it topped the list at 43%. Age matters among Americans under 30. I can't even takes top honors in the young group. I can't even. December 1st through 9th surveys.
It's too hard to text.
Yeah. Yeah, right, it's too many fucking...
Yeah.
Whatever.
That is annoying.
Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Whatever.
Yeah. You know?
I can't even.
But I want to thank John Levine for showing up today.
It's always a pleasure.
Are you going back?
I'm going back. I won't be on the show next week.
Right.
I guess I'm driving back. It'll be the second.
You coming to the party?
You know, we'll have to talk about that.
Right.
You know what it is? It's the drive. I'm in all the way downtown Fort Lauderdale.
Mm,
you know, that's the... I looked at Uber, and it's a $38 Uber ride.
Ooh.
One way.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to drive on New Year's Eve. That's the only thing I'm concerned
with. That's always the thing. That's why I wanted to have a party.
Yeah, a party
at
your house. Right. And I get it, and that's cool, but I've thought about it, because I don't really have any plans. But I'm like, God, do I want to be driving back and forth to Coral Springs and drinking on New Year's Eve?
All right, well, my stepdaughter says, all right, fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah.
And then anyway, by the way, thanks. And by the way, tomorrow, I think Peter Leonard and Elgin will be in the studios.
Wow.
Thanks for that. And we're excited. Tavolino's is going to be back with shows on January 4th. I'll be your host along with Al Romero and Devin Siebel, very funny cat, January 4th, getting back to shows. And on job, by the way, on Wednesday this week, I'm going to be in Fort Myers at Laugh-In Comedy Cafe. We'll showcase me, Perry Sack, two or three other comics will be up there. So if you're in Fort Myers, come by Laugh-In Comedy Cafe and tell me you heard it here on the show. And follow our show on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. And join our fan page on Facebook. We appreciate it. John?
You go to my website, johnlevinecomedy.com. It's all my pertinent social media.
There you go. Thanks again for listening, guys. We'll see you here tomorrow at the same spot. Take care.
In the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. There being their light hit the ground.